why is a proper theology so imperative to us being able to walk through pain well?
Wow. I mean, great question. It is so essential because it's the lens through which you see everything. It's the lens through which you see God. It's the lens through which you see life. It's the lens through which you see other people. And when I say it's the lens through which you see God, it's if you actually have a wrong worldview, an unbiblical worldview like we were talking about, health and wealth theology, prosperity theology, then what's going to happen is you're going to believe when suffering comes, God is letting you down. Yeah. Or maybe God isn't even there. Maybe he isn't real. I'll never forget years ago when I was writing my book, If God is Good, a book on the problem of evil and suffering. And of course, I solved that problem easily in that book. No,
but I've
written several books on that. And of course, yeah, did not solve it, but yeah, it's the question of the ages. But here's the thing. The people of God have always known about the problem of evil and suffering. Right. And, but people today, Christians today, and many evangelical churches don't think about the problem of evil, right, and suffering until it happens to them, and then they don't have answers because, yeah, they have their God is so small that he's like a genie, that when they pray, it's like Aladdin's lamp, and he appears and he does whatever they want, and so they're telling God, they're claiming this, and God must do that. And Nancy and I were so aware, our worldview was, okay, better people than us, by far, in the case of Jesus, infinitely better, have had their prayers not answered.
Right.
I mean, Jesus' prayer in the garden was that the Father would remove this cup of suffering from him.
Wow.
He added the caveat, you know, your will be done, if it's your will, or your will be done. But the main prayer itself was, deliver me from the suffering. Now, are you and I profoundly faithful that God did not answer that prayer? Wow. Absolutely. You've got the Apostle Paul. Now, of course, he ultimately answered it, your will be done, because he did his will. Right. Okay, but that's why we should add that. And I've been told by people, now don't add that your will be done thing, because that means you're being faithless. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not really trusting God. You know, well, no, I'm trusting God to do what he knows is best. I'm asking for what I want, but I'm trusting him to do what's best. And that's what we did with Nancy. We prayed for healing, but we said, but God, we know you don't always choose to heal. We know we're all going to die. You know, we know we live in a world of suffering, but that's up to you. But I'll tell you what, if you don't have that worldview that is rooted in what Scripture tells us, then you're going to resent God. You're going to be angry at God. You are going to possibly just entirely lose your faith in God. And I'll be honest with you, David. I actually think there are many people, including many professing Christians, who actually need to lose their faith because their faith is in the wrong object. Yeah. It's not true saving faith, because it's not faith in the true God revealed in Scripture.
Right.
It's faith in an imaginary God. And an imaginary God doesn't save you and doesn't transform you. An imaginary God did not create the universe. The real God did. And the real God went to the cross. And so whenever, for you and for me, and so whenever you are tempted to say, God, I just don't, you wouldn't let me go through this. I mean, I think of everything that you went through with the murder of your wife. I mean, good night. If you had blamed God, if you had said, I'm not going to believe in you, I'm not going to follow you as a result of that, the devastation to your life, the devastation to the people around you, family, and everybody else. There are so many people today who are losing faith. What they do need to do is lose their faith in the wrong thing to clear the idols out of the way so that you can place your faith in the one true God revealed in Scripture, who is sovereign, who is loving. And Nancy talked I mean, incessantly, she talked about the sovereignty and love of God for her. Wow. And the rest that that gave her. Yeah. And she said, someday I know he's going, when he comes for me, I'm not going to have to work up the strength. He is going to just take me. And then she used the word jubilantly into his presence. And that's exactly what happened. I was with her when she died. And that's what happened.
Wow.